I'm going to keep the doorbell on for just a few more minutes. And that way it's hard. Otherwise, it's hard for us to see. Actually, I'm going to turn the doorbell off. Jeannie, hopefully you can admit people as they come in. Good morning, everyone. This is the VINA Stakeholder Advisory Committee meeting. And our meeting is being recorded. We have about 7 of the 10 SHAC members here. So hopefully the other 3 will join us shortly. I'm going to do a roll call momentarily, but I just wanted to let everyone know, hopefully you can bear with me and Jeannie and Christina today. And we don't have Linda with us. So we're running the meeting, taking notes, admitting people. And so playing some roles that we don't always play. And with that, I'm going to do roll call kind of in alphabetical order, and then we'll just jump into our meeting. Just as I'm sure everyone has the agenda in front of you, but today I'm just going to go over the meeting agenda real quick. We're going to have our roll call. The first item of business is the election of the chair and vice chair. We'll do business from the floor. We'll review the minutes, go over some financing options, SGMA implementation grant application process. We're gonna reorder the meeting a little bit. Item number 7, which is about FSS support service, facilitation support services. We're gonna move that up before Christina's item number 6. We're gonna talk a little bit about future meeting dates, times, and locations. And then just to give a brief management committee update, and then we'll adjourn. So with that, I will start with a roll call, starting with Jim Brobeck.
I'm here.
Ann Dawson.
Here.
Sam Gepp.
Here.
Todd Green. He's not here. Samantha Lewis.
Here.
Chris Madden.
Here.
Evan Markey. Joanne Parsley.
Here.
Bruce Smith.
Here.
And Greg Sonry.
Here.
Oh, good. Greg is here. All right. Now we have 8 out of 10. Okay. All right, so the first item, I'm going to say this, the first item of business is the election of the chair and vice chair. And when we do that, hopefully that person is willing and able to kind of take over the meeting. But I will also, since you may be nominated and I guess appointed or elected and not be prepared to run the meeting, I will also assist with that. So. With that being said, are there any nominations for chair?
I nominate Samantha Lewis.
Okay. That's Sam Gepp. Okay, is there a second?
That was Sonry, right?
Yes. Oh, was that Greg Sonry? Sorry.
Yep.
Yes.
Sorry, Greg, thank you. Is there a second?
I'll second Samantha Lewis.
All right. I'm taking notes. So let's go back. All right. Then we'll go through that. I'll take a roll call vote. Jim Brobeck.
Yes.
Ann Dawson.
I have a concern that Samantha's husband is on the board. And I know that when he was appointed to the board, we all felt that was okay. But I don't know that the chairman of the SHAC should be in such a close relationship with a board member. So okay. That's what makes me hesitate. Okay. So I'm going to abstain.
Okay. Thank you, Anne. And thank you for bringing just the attention to my attention that we should have a discussion first before I take a vote. So how about if we go ahead and continue with that discussion? Are there any other SHAC members who want to add a comment? Okay. And would it be your preference to, I guess, if there's anyone from the public that has a comment and then we can take a vote? I'll do that. Is there anyone from the public? If you are here, you actually do have the ability to unmute yourself, but perhaps if you do have a comment or a thought, just kind of raise your hand. Okay, great. So then we'll continue with the vote. So Jim said yes, Anne is going to abstain. Sam Gepp.
Yes, in favor. I like the name.
Okay, that's a reason to vote. And I don't see that Todd has joined us. So Chris Madden?
Yes.
Evan, I don't think has joined us. Joanne Parsley?
Yes.
Bruce Smith?
Yes.
And Greg Sonry?
Yes.
And Samantha Lewis?
Yes.
I know it's probably weird voting for yourself. And do you want me to do the vice chair part, Sam, and then Samantha, and then we can shift the meeting kind of over to you to run?
Yeah, how about you continue on with the elections?
Okay. Is there a nomination for vice chair?
I nominate Sam Gepp.
Okay.
Not sure if I like that, Sonry. Mr. Sonry.
Okay, so I'm taking notes. Hold on. And is there a second?
Joanne Parsley will second that.
All right, is there any discussion?
How about me making a discussion item? This is Sam.
Okay.
We've got kids all over the country that we visit quite often. And in July, I would hope there would be no meeting because I will not be available for the month of July. Other than that, it's fine.
Well, we do have, we'll be talking about future SHAC meeting dates, times, and formats. So perhaps you can bring that back up at that time. Does that sound good, Sam?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. All right, any discussion from the public? Please raise your hand. Okay, and then I will take a vote. So Jim Brobeck.
Yes.
Ann Dawson.
No.
Todd Green, has he shown up? All right. Samantha Lewis.
Yes.
Chris Madden?
Yes.
Did Evan Markey show up? I'm just going down my list, alphabetical list here. Joanne Parsley?
Yes.
Bruce Smith?
Yes.
Greg Sonry?
Yes.
And Sam Gepp.
Can I abstain? Okay. I'll say yes. That's fine.
Okay. All right.
A little helps. Goes a long way.
I know it probably feels weird. Okay. All right, so we have a chair with Samantha Lewis and a vice chair, Sam Gepp. So with that is business from the floor. Samantha, do you have the agenda in front of you?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, great. Okay, so I'll let you take it from here.
All right. Well, first of all, Cami, thank you for all of your help in running our meetings up until this point. We are now moving on to number three, business from the floor. The public and SHAC members will have an opportunity to comment on items not on the agenda and that are relevant to the SHAC. Committee members and management committee staff are not required to respond to any issues raised during the public comment periods. Commenters are asked to respect different perspectives and to keep remarks within 3 minutes. Do we have any members of the SHAC who would like to bring up an item from the floor?
Jim Brobeck.
I see Jim's hand.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Go ahead, Jim, thank you.
Thank you. During the last meeting, we did mention the drought impacts analysis study, and it was said that we didn't have it in front of us, so we couldn't discuss it during the last meeting. The report was tasked with describing potential environmental impacts resulting from the supplemental groundwater pumping operations last year. The consultants explained that they were unable to provide these details because the modeling and monitoring tools needed to accomplish the task were not available. It would be helpful if the consultants gave specific recommendations on how to monitor and identify cumulative environmental impacts and other impacts associated with drought and escalating development of groundwater infrastructure in the four-county Tuscan Aquifer System region. High on the list should be developing a network of shallow monitoring wells to detect changes in water levels over the shallowest portion of the aquifer, as recommended by the Department of Water Resources and the Northern California Water Association in their 2007 Sac Valley Water Resource Monitoring Data Collection and Evaluation Framework. The report was also tasked with providing an evaluation of cumulative impacts of 2021 water transfer programs in the Northern Sacramento Valley on water supplies and demands. And they advise that it's important to include an interbasin component. Once again, the modeling and monitoring tools needed to accomplish the task of understanding cross-boundary impacts are not available. There was a document produced by the Northern California Water Association that underscores the importance of long-term monitoring to understand the impacts of groundwater pumping on basin recovery and impacts to streams. And they mentioned that the greater the distance or depth between groundwater pumping and an affected stream, the lower the magnitude, but the longer the time scale of depletions. As a consequence, the ultimate effects of pumping can occur significantly after pumping starts or even after pumping has ceased. In general, the longer the time frame for effects to be observed at a given monitoring point, once they become evident, the longer those effects persist. I'm concerned about the long-term cumulative impacts of regional conjunctive use of the basin and expanded groundwater irrigation west of the river that's occurring. Butte County still has water levels that are shallow enough to sustain groundwater-dependent vegetation, such as our Chico Urban Forest. According to the Nature Conservancy, environmental and surface water right impacts occur early in groundwater development when modest water level declines of only 20 to 40 feet can result in significant depletion of stream flow and desiccation of groundwater dependent vegetation. I think that the Vina Shack should agendize a discussion on what future drought impact analysis studies might consider. For instance, the project last year graphed the well depths and locations in Butte County over the past years, but in order to analyze the cumulative impacts of the shared aquifer system, the future drought impact study must also track the depth and number of ag wells, large diameter wells developed in Glen, Colusa, and Tehama counties, especially during the past decade. Number two, the study graphed the ratio of rice to orchard agriculture acreage in Butte County, looking at the evolution of that. Future studies must also graph out the shifting ratio of rice and grazing land to orchards in the four county region. And number three, if regional groundwater sustainability agencies fail to develop sufficient monitoring and modeling tools needed to anticipate and observe the cumulative impacts to water supplies, the consultants should make specific recommendations on what tools are needed. The cumulative impacts of the shared aquifer system resulting from expanding groundwater extraction infrastructure throughout the four county region can be anticipated, modeled, and monitored. Impacts to groundwater dependent ecosystems, such as the Chico Urban Forest and the Valley Oak Woodlands, interconnected stream flow, and shallow domestic wells are either avoidable or inevitable depending on the availability of data and the intentions of water policy management. A balanced aquifer provides the buffer needed to endure periods of extended drought. An overdrafted aquifer will eliminate this buffer and result in a severe decline in the regional quality of life. That's my comment. I'm hoping that that we can figure a way to get enough money to implement these long needed monitoring and modeling tools that we need to manage our aquifer system in the Northern Sacramento Valley.
Thank you very much, Jim. Unfortunately, we cannot take action on items brought up from the floor today, but I do have a question for staff. I did a little research and I reread our charter, and it does specify that the management committee prepares the, but it also says that there is a quote process agreement that quote, everyone agrees to address the issues and concerns of the participants, meaning members of the SHAC such as Jim. So my question is, how do we want to approach SHAC member requests to add items to the agenda moving forward now that we have a chair?
Well, I don't think we made any, was that the most current charter with all the strikeouts? I guess that could be an item of discussion on how we want to do that. I think as we get into today's topics, we'll be talking a little bit about our financing options and some key tasks that staff will be doing moving forward. And so if it falls within those specific tasks, really streamlining what staff will be working on in the future, then maybe we can put it, add it to that discussion later on. It depends on how much time staff would have to spend on doing something like that. So I think when we talk about future agenda items, we can figure that out, or you guys can vote to see if you want to add it to the agenda. It just depends on how much work it would be put on staff to respond to it.
Well, I think that perhaps a discussion first, and then maybe we have member agencies that would be willing to shoulder some of the costs if there are projects that are, you know, close to their heart.
Yeah.
But discussing it is, you know, should not take much time or money. So
I also think when Christina talks about today, talking about the Sigma, I think for this particular topic that Jim has brought up, when Christina talks about the Sigma implementation grant process and the projects, I think some of the items that Jim has mentioned here would actually fall within some of those project things. So it might not necessarily be an agenda topic for the future, but would fall under the Sigma grant application process.
All right. So Jim, does that sound good to you?
It does. I really think that this should be grant funded because this is such a regional issue. And the impacts that Butte County, that the Vina sub-basin in particular may have to endure are not necessarily the result of what's happening in the Vina sub-basin. So to do this properly, we need more of a coordinated effort. I was hoping the Northern Sacramento Valley Integrated Regional Water Management Group would be implementing some of these, but so far they've failed to really take a leadership in that. So I think it's up to the Vina sub-basin to insist that we develop these tools that we all need on both sides of the river, and to figure how to fund it on a shared basis. We shouldn't have to carry the burden of funding it through assessments or whatever on this side. This is a statewide problem, considering that this region does supply water for the rest of the state. I'm hoping the state can help fund a sustainable water situation up here. That's my input on that. Going for state grants, I think, is the way to go on this.
All right. Bruce, I see your hand is up. Do you have a question?
I was just going to add to a little bit of what Jim had talked about. In the drought impact report, it mentions construction details, and I'm hoping that those include screen levels, log descriptions, e-logs to show the possible connectivity. And I know when you go to the DWR site water data library, it has some of that information. I didn't look into detail, but some of that's available and just, I think, should be brought forward. And that's just my comment. Thanks.
All right. Thank you, Bruce. Are there any more questions of Jim? All right. I don't see anyone. All right, moving on, are there any other SHAC members with items that they'd like to bring from the floor? All right, I don't see any hands. Moving on to members of the public, please raise your hand if you have a item to bring to the from the floor. All right. Seeing no hands, moving on to agenda item number 4, review and approval of the March 15th, 22 and April 27th, 22 SHAC meeting minutes. Let's just start with the March 15th, 22 meeting minutes. Are there any questions or corrections from members of the SHAC?
This is Greg Sonry. I move to approve.
I'll second it.
All right. Discussion? All right. Seeing none, Cami, will you please do a roll call vote for the motion by Greg Sonry to approve the March 15, 22 meeting minutes?
Sure. I'm going to go in alphabetical order, leaving the vice chair and chair for last. Jim Brobeck.
Approved.
Ann Dawson.
Yes.
Todd Green is not here. Chris Madden.
Approved.
Joanne Parsley.
Approved.
Bruce Smith.
Approve.
Greg Sonry.
Approve.
Sam Gett.
My computer is going in and out because I'm in the wind up here. It's only 58 degrees on the coast. I missed the last 3-4 minutes.
Oh, we're approving the March 15th minutes. Do you want me to put abstain for this one?
No, I read them. It's fine.
Okay. And Samantha Lewis.
I found some substantive or non-substantive typos. I'll just email them to you. It's okay. Basically 21 should be instead of 2022.
Okay.
Yes, I approve.
Great. Yeah, email those and we'll get them to Linda and we'll just make those typo edits.
Okay. Right. Okay, motion carries. Moving on the minutes from the April 27th, 22 minutes. I see Pam has her hand raised. Pam, you are a member of the public. Is that it? The hand up in the air?
It is, it is. I just had a question. I remember in a prior SHAC meeting, there was discussion about how the minutes of the meetings were going to be recorded. Were they going to be just highlighted, or was it going to be a full recording? I can't remember. It had to do with budget and staff time. And I just wondered if you guys had figured that out.
The meetings are being recorded, and so they are available on the website. So going back to the April 27th, 22 minutes, SHAC members, are there any edits, or do I have a motion?
Move to approve, it's Greg Sonry.
I'll second it, Jim Brobeck.
All right, we have a motion from Greg Sonry to approve the minutes, a second by Jim Brobeck. Cammie, would you please do a roll call vote?
Sure.
Tammy, can I just say, you know, you are supposed to ask for discussion, and that's probably why a member of the public had their hand up. Usually there's discussion on motions and then the vote, just a point of order.
Oh, thank you. SHAC members, do you have a discussion from this motion?
And Pam, I'm going to lower your hand unless you have another comment. Okay, great. Thank you.
Since there's no discussion, thank you. This is a public meeting, and we do have a process for members of the public to participate. So in the future, please raise your hand. Moving forward, can I have a roll call vote?
Sure. Jim Brobeck.
Approve.
Ann Dawson.
Yes.
Chris Madden.
Approve.
Joanne Parsley.
Approve.
Bruce Smith.
Yes.
Greg Sonry.
Approve.
Sam Gepp.
Yes.
And Samantha Lewis.
Yes. All right. So motion carries to approve the April 27th, 22 meeting minutes. We're moving on to agenda item 5. Update and discussion of VINA GSA financing options. We have a verbal report from Cammie from the Management Committee. Please take it away, Cammie.
All right. Well, thank you very much. This actually makes my job easier with Samantha being the chair of the SHAC. So I just wanted to review and let everyone know. I think many people know on at the Board of Supervisors meeting. When was that? May 24th, Department of Water and Resource Conservation went to the Board of Supervisors and requested a kind of a one-time allocation for the department to add to our budget some GSA administrative administration funds. So with that in for the GSAs, including the VINA, Wyandotte Creek, and even the Butte GSA. And we did that so that it would kind of get us through the next year of activities that need to occur. That the board did approve our request to be added to our recommended budget, the Department of Water and Resource Conservation's recommended budget, which will go to the Board of Supervisors on Tuesday, the 28th. The budget that we had proposed, and I can share my, let me share my screen. I just have a slide. Can you all see that? I'm hoping. Do you see that?
Yes.
Okay, great. I can't tell if you can or not. So, and I'll just show the slide without starting the slide presentation. So what we did is we identified three specific tasks over the next year that the department would focus on, and that would be the SGMA grant application, which is due in sometime in the fall. Christina will probably talk about that a little more, but we're hoping that the grant program will open sometime in September, maybe October. The second task that we would focus on is the annual report that is due April 1st, 2023, and then long-term financing. So our request to the board included those, really focusing on those three tasks. We did provide the Board of Supervisors with budgets that identified both the in-kind cost to the county for the department to kind of administer the GSA. We asked for some the funds to include some for some additional help, some professional services such as a GSA kind of coordinator, someone working with staff to administer the GSA. There's money in there for annual reports as well as a consultant to help us through the long-term financing process, the options that you all heard about from Provost and Pritchard at the workshop. And then it would cover the outside legal services. This is just the general legal services, not including litigation, and just general office expenses, meaning the audit, insurance, and any other just regular office expenses. And so this is the budget that reflects that. So essentially we asked for about $257,000 to be added to the department's budget so we could administer the GSA. In saying that, the three tasks that we would be focused on, so that budget, which is a little different than what you guys saw for the financing options, it is an extremely bare bones budget, again, to focus on these three tasks, the SGMA grant application, the annual report, and the long-term financing process. So it's really to streamline the work that the department will be focusing on for the GSA. That because of when SGMA grant money would be available and the length of time that the financing process would take, we just felt that we needed something to get us through the next year. And our thought is that once, like over the next year in 2023 for the 2023-2024 fiscal year, that essentially the GSA would kind of limp along until grant money came in and long-term financing was available. So that's just an update. Again, our budget goes to the Board of Supervisors. The county budget goes to the Board of Supervisors on June 28th. And that's all I have to report on that.
Oh, thank you very much, Cami. As I understand it, this is just an update, not an action item. So we'll go straight to discussion. SHAC members, please raise your hand if you have any questions of Cami. All right, I see no hands. Moving on to public comments. As a reminder, staff is not required to respond to public comments, and they are limited to 3 minutes. If a committee member does want staff to respond, then they can ask. Seeing a hand, Deborah Lucero.
Yes, I just wanted to say that this program should be funded by the state's Department of Water Resources and not county taxpayers. One letter writer to our board believed that county taxpayers shouldn't be on the hook, quote, to subsidize this program for the benefit of private parties who have caused the overdraft of the Tuscan aquifer and who have obtained substantial private economic benefit from their overdrafting of the Tuscan aquifer. To put this in perspective, those who live in urban areas of the county utilize about 25,113 acre feet of groundwater annually, according to Butte's recent drought impact analysis report. And this covers groundwater use by Chico, Gridley, Paradise, Biggs, and Oroville. Agriculture, on the other hand, utilizes 248,000 acre feet of groundwater just in the Vina subbasin alone. And in the newly released drought impact analysis report, there's about 565,000 acre feet of water being pumped in just Butte County. And that it's unknown how much drain of Butte County's water resources are occurring underground due to the surrounding basins of Corning and Colusa Glen, both of which were hugely overdrawn by 500,000 acre feet in one instance in 2021. So there's no clear data on how our shared aquifer is being affected by these tremendous overdrafts on the west side of the Sacramento River, nor how the aquifer responds to the tremendous pumping occurring there. So I just wanted to bring this to this committee's attention because this really should be funded by DWR, and it was approved on a 3-2 vote because county taxpayers are picking up the tab on this. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other members of the public who have a comment? Seeing no other members of the public, back to Shaq. Jim Brobeck, please.
I agree with what Supervisor Lucero has said. And so my question is, if the county staff is going to be doing the grant writing process, would that fulfill what we need to do to get state funding through these grants? Is this the correct way to pursue state funding? And I guess my question is to staff on that one.
Would you like me to respond, Samantha? And Christina can join in too. Actually, Christina, I'll let you respond to talking about the projects that we're looking at and in terms of, especially with what Jim had brought up earlier, and then kind of we'll take it from there.
Yeah, that's right. I think the simple answer is yes. And I'll give more details upcoming, but taking advantage of the upcoming grant opportunity and pursuing as much state money to do even some of this work. And we did also tell the Board of Supervisors that we would, you know, look to, we can pursue grant funding and reimburse the cost back to when the grant guidelines were adopted, which is December of 2021. So we could even try to get some of our annual report work that we do this year that is in this budget right now from the county, we could try to get that covered and reimbursed by the grant. So we will look for opportunities to take advantage of state funds as much as possible.
I'll also add that there's a movement with some other of the associations like NACWA and AQUA that some of the funding sources for the grant funding, there's two different funding sources. Some require us to do more of a competitive application process, but then there's a movement where some of that fund might be able to be directly allocated to the GSAs. And so there are groups working with the whomever they work with, the legislature, DWR, to see if some of that money could just be directly allocated to the medium and high basins. So where we might not have to competitively pursue some of that, where it could just be an allocation of X number of dollars to each of the sub basins. So hopefully that would also be DWR or the state paying for a portion directly. As if you may know that in the critically overdrafted basins, they were each allocated a certain amount, $7.6 million. They had to still apply for their grants and identify what all their projects were, and they were given $7.6 million, although some of their grant applications were above that. But so looking for some kind of support in that way. So stay tuned on that, but hopefully there will be just an allocation that would go directly to the sub-basins.
Thank you. Jim, did that answer your question?
It does, and I'm wondering if it's up to if there's a role to play for SHAC members of the GSA, and of the general public to lobby our representatives in Sacramento, James Gallagher, Jim Nielsen, to help us along this line, to advocate for us to get the money needed in their districts. So. It's something I plan to do. And if I don't know if anybody wants to talk about it, maybe I would encourage other people to do that as well.
Thank you very much, Jim. Seeing no other hands, I'm going to move on to the next agenda item.
I'm Samantha. I think we did want, we wanted to maybe re organize and have number 7 before number 6, just because I know Christina's was gonna touch on it, and so I thought we would just kind of head that off at the pass to talk about the facilitation support services first, if that's okay.
That's fine. I'm still brushing up on Rosenberg's rules of order.
Okay.
to be here today, so as long as that doesn't require a motion, I'm fine with moving to 7 and skipping 6 and then returning to 6.
Okay, perfect. It doesn't. It's just for informational items. So so on item number 7 is the VINA GSA board's approval for the management committee to request facilitation and support services from DWR. So one of the ways that staff is looking to reduce costs to the county is to request FSS, Facilitation and Support Services, from DWR. That was the same program that we had Tanya from CBI. This would be using the same program, a different facilitator, but it would be asking DWR to assign a facilitator to us to help us with the grant application process. When Christina talks about the grant application process, we kind of see a role of the SHAC perhaps being broken out into kind of breakout groups to discuss projects in more detail, and Christina will talk about that, but utilizing facilitation support services essentially to kind of herd the cats, like working on scheduling meetings, talking about the projects in a little more detail so that we can come up with a kind of a list of projects that and Christina will talk about that process. So the board approved the management committee to submit an application for those services, and we'll be moving forward with that. Again, it's a program that is paid for by DWR and would not be taken out of the funds from that were allocated by the board as part of our budget when they pass it, hopefully on Tuesday. But so that's what that is about.
Thank you. Is there any discussion from the SHAC on item 7? All right, seeing none, I'm moving on to members of the public. Please raise your hand. All right, seeing none, thank you very much for your update, Cami. We're going to move back to item number 6 on the agenda. overview of SGMA implementation grant application and process report. Christina Bach, please. Thank you very much.
Yeah, great. Thank you. Good morning. So as you heard Cami describe kind of what our focus will likely be this coming year, the grant application is going to be a major one. So this item today, we're really just teeing this up, giving some background, and then we'll have greater discussion at the next meeting and over really the next 6 months. So I want to describe a little bit about, you know, what we can anticipate, what the opportunity is, and then how we think the process may unfold. So you can just have an idea of where we're headed. So again, this is the Sustainable Groundwater Management Grant Program. As you know, we had a Prop 1 GSP planning grant to develop these groundwater sustainability plans in the Butte County subbasins, including the GSP for VINA. And so, you know, the GSP was essentially paid for by state funds with lots of staff time to manage that project. But now they have kind of the next grant program is implementation funds. And this comes out of Prop 68, but also some state general fund monies. And so because of that, it can be, it's more flexible than many grant programs, and it can be planning grant type projects or implementation projects. As we've mentioned, DWR is administering the grant program. The final guidelines, like I mentioned in the proposal solicitation package, were released in December of 2021. There were two rounds. The first round was for the critically overdrafted subbasins, like Cami mentioned, and they had a little bit different process. And now we're anticipating round two, and that's what we're part of as a high priority basin, and kind of the rest of the medium and high priority basins will be able to go after these funds in round two. It will be a competitive process, but these guidelines and the PSP say that the minimum is 1 million per basin and the maximum is 20 million per basin. So that at least seems like we should be good to capture hopefully at least 1 million. The couple things, I'm not going to go into the details of what's in the guidelines and the specifics. If you're interested, you can certainly read those. They are available, but really a couple key points, and that is we need one application to be submitted per subbasin or per basin. So we will be coordinating, you know, amongst all the, we've got to get all these projects. There can be multiple projects and multiple project proponents in a single application, but one application submitted on behalf of the subbasin. So that'll be part of the coordination piece. And then I mentioned this already too, but eligible reimbursable expenses can be incurred back to December 2021. So that's a good thing to keep in mind as well. Okay, so today, and what you had in your packet was this little PowerPoint and then a table. And so I'll walk through the table a little bit. But today, again, I just wanted to introduce this topic, give a little background, and then encourage you to do a little bit of homework in advance of our next meeting. And that would be one, just encouraging you to reread and refer back to the project and management actions section or chapter and the implementation chapter of the groundwater sustainability plan. I think those two chapters together are 30 or 40 pages. And that's where, you know, these projects and management actions and the data collection data gap projects are described. So right now that's kind of our go-to reference for what did we say this project was about, you know, and reminding ourselves what has been defined and what hasn't been defined in terms of any of these topics, and where we need to, now is the time to kind of develop more information and background. So secondly, which I have as number one here, is watch your email inbox for an initial project survey. So I'll come back to that in terms of what that's about. So what we anticipate kind of stepwise is that I don't know if any of you were kind of had an eye on how the Board of Supervisors handled the ARPA funding that the county received, which was the American Rescue Plan Act. But they, you know, whenever you have a chunk of money there's different ways to go about it. But what we're looking for is we have, you know, this project list in the GSP and potential funding, and we need to figure out, you know, what projects, what we're going to pursue funding for. But before that, many of these projects that are in the GSP are described there, but they're not, you know, ready to hit the ground. We don't have a detailed scope, budget, schedule to say, this is the project that I'm gonna hire someone to actually do, right? They are more conceptual in nature and they need some additional information or project development to really understand even, I mean, some of the numbers, right, are to be determined. So even just scoping them up to be able to put a number on it and say, this is what we're gonna do, here's how much it's gonna cost. So before we can't do that work for all of the projects in the plan at this point. And so the first pass is to go through the projects and say, and this is what we wanna do at the SHAC meeting in July, is get a kind of yes, no recommendation on each of the projects, whether it's a project that we should further develop. So it's not whether it's going to, you know, we're going to pursue funding for it or not. We're not asking that question yet. We just want to say, you know, have some consensus from the SHAC on, yeah, that seems like a good project to pursue at this time. Staff and with hopefully that extra budget, we'll have some consultant help to further develop those projects and bring them back for more discussion and communication and consideration as kind of the next phase of the process. So after we have, you know, in July, a list of, okay, here's what we're going to further develop, then we can spend some time developing those projects and the details of them. And this is where I think there will be a good opportunity to maybe have breakout groups. If you're interested in particular projects, we can have some working group type meetings. And I think facilitation support services will be helpful in that, like Cami said, to help schedule those meetings, lead the discussions there, facilitate discussion, write meeting notes, and that'll aid staff and any consultants that are helping us with all of that to keep it on track and pull it together. So of course, there'll be, you know, I think conversations about specific projects at the SHAC as we develop those out. We'll also need to be coordinating with Rock Creek Reclamation District GSA and of course the Vina GSA board. So we don't have it totally penciled out exactly what that looks like, but that kind of project development piece will occur over a couple of months, I think in the late summer or early fall. And then we'll move into, okay, now that we have these developed, which ones do we pursue funding for? And we can have, you know, public meeting and SHAC discussion around that. SHAC recommendation ultimately to the GSA boards who will decide, you know, what the project list will be for this grant application. And then staff will do the work to put it together and submit the application. As far as timing goes, right now the website for this grant opportunity says that it would open in September. We've also heard that it may be late 2022 or even early 2023. I think there's some uncertainty because part of the money that's going into this grant application is coming from the budget, which is in negotiation and a moving target right now. But when that lands, then I think we'll see the timeline of this program shake out and land as well. And that'll be helpful for us to know if we have a little bit more time to do some of this work or if it's going to be condensed and we'll just need to really chug along. So maybe I'll pause there and just see if there's any SHAC questions. I am going to go to the table and talk through what you're looking at there. So if I'll just pause there and see if there's any questions about the general process. So what we're thinking in turn before I do that, swinging back to this initial project survey, the idea of the survey would be to just get some initial information from each of the SHAC members coming into that July meeting. You can indicate, you know, for each of those projects, whether you want more information on it or not, which means you don't think it's, you know, a project that we should pursue at this time. And so that will just kind of come into the, hopefully the July meeting with a little bit of not starting at square one and a little bit of information to help start the discussion. Okay, so I'll pause and see if there's questions. Looks like Jim.
Yeah.
Christina, I wonder if there is a real differentiation between project management actions and data collection to fulfill data gaps. As you know, my opinion is to do rational groundwater management and even proposing what projects to pursue, we need to have good data, good understanding of how the aquifer system works. Is this data collection already something that we need to pursue as a prerequisite, or is it just one of the options?
So, yeah, I'll go to the table, and I think that'll help kind of answer that. If there's any other questions about process, go ahead and pipe in, and then I'll bring that up. Let me hold on a second. I had it. Okay, can you see this, or do I need to?
Not yet.
You see that? Okay, I gotta share it differently, I think. So yeah, what's in the implementation chapter, and at this point, you know, it's not good language, I think, to differentiate, but they're all potentially going to be considered projects in the grant application, but there's going to be different types of projects, to your question, Jim. So what I did here to get to this table is I harvested, essentially, I took the project list out of the PMA chapter, and then I pulled the list of management actions. And then I went through the implementation chapter, and it had some additional activities in there, and also the data gaps and data collection activities. And so that's what this category column is here, you know, kind of where it came from, whether it's this, like the monitoring, that's ongoing GSP implementation activity. And I believe, you know, we could pursue funding even for that activity. So this is kind of an opportunity for the state to pay for this program and any, and for us to pursue funding for them to do that. So that's why, you know, even the monitoring activity is on this list. So there's monitoring, then there's the data management system, right? As just GSA business and part of the law in complying with implementation of SGMA, we have to have a data management system. There's a need to update that. Annual reports, that's an ongoing issue. We know there's needs to update the GSP, and we need to be anticipating the fact that DWR is going to, you know, evaluate the GSP and come back with, even if it's approved, probably come back with some suggestions on what needs to be taken care of, or if it's incomplete, then we're going to really have to address and be able to respond to that. So we can pursue funding, you know, anticipating that activity and that need. Butte Basin model updates. So you can see this list, and then moving down, interbasin coordination, right? That is in our GSP as an implementation activity. And there's some language in there about what the Dvinasa Basin intends to do. And so we can pursue funding for that through this. Community monitoring. This is, you know, we talked a lot about the limited data that was available in terms of knowing what domestic wells are out there and which ones are active and where they are and how deep they are. And so this is the project that's described in the implementation chapter to address that data gap. And then I pulled in these three planned projects that are in the project part of the PMA chapter that were identified as planned projects. And I highlighted them in this gray set of activities. And that is ag irrigation efficiency, scoping for flood mar and surface water recharge, which is really described as a feasibility study. And then the Community Water Education Initiative, which was a project put forward by Chico State, and it's really an outreach and education project. So these gray topics are ones that we're proposing as staff are things that we should pursue funding for and should be further developed as planned projects, and then as activities that are either part of implementing that our plan says we will do to implement our plan, or are our data gaps and that need to be addressed. So I'm suggesting that kind of the things in gray are automatically on the list for further development to pursue funding for those things. What that leaves us with is the rest of the activities and projects. So you can see that they're you know, listed in the plan here, they were projects, they were potential projects, or it was a conceptual project. There's other management actions that we may or may not want to pursue at this time. And so these are really the ones that I think warrant more discussion around, should we further develop this activity or this project at this time for this funding source, right? It remains in the plan. It remains always on the bookshelf as long as it's in the plan. It's on the bookshelf as a possible thing to do that the VINA GSA would want to pursue. So the question is it a good fit for this funding source? Is the time right? And should we flesh it out further, you know, to pursue money for it at this time? So part of that will also take a little bit of legwork, and I plan to do this before July and even possibly before I send out the survey to you all, is to follow up with some of these, you know, project proponents and check in with them and see, is this a project that you're ready, if we were to be able to get money for it through this grant program, you know, are you good to go and would you want to do this project at this time? So first, I'll do that pass with the ones that have, you know, other project proponents, even these Butte County ordinance type activities, management activities. We're going to do a little bit of discussion with other departments and check in with them and see if this is a funding source that's appropriate for these types of activities. So that's the next piece of work. And then we'll bring this list, like I mentioned, back to you for discussion in July. So Jim, feel free to, I'll stop there and then feel free to ask your question again if you feel like I didn't totally answer it.
Project number 13, was that the most recently completed VINA Subbasin Farmer Survey, Ag Efficiency, is that a completed project?
So yeah, great question. So in the GSP, it describes that that project, that the first kind of phase of that project is underway, and that is the survey. And so the GSP describes the survey, and then that the results of the survey will be used to further develop, you know, opportunities or programs to implement agricultural irrigation efficiency in the VINA subbasin to reduce water, you know, or to save water. And so I would say that's a project that's in motion, but there's certainly a need potentially for funding to implement that project.
Okay, and just a side note on that, it'd be good for us to discuss the results of that survey at some point in the shack, since it's right, definitely in our purview. Secondly, a question on the interbasin coordination. You know, there's no funding cost identified in that.
Right.
And so far, it's just been kind of meeting in a room to talk about how we're going to share information with adjacent boundaries rather than trying to fill data gaps, as far as my impression. And so the related updating the Butte Basin model, is that going to give us a clearer idea of cross basin, cross boundary flows during the course of the year and cumulatively as groundwater continues to be more aggressively developed on the other side of the river? Is that going to be the proper tool, or do we need a whole nother modeling effort in order to fill that absolutely critical data gap?
Yeah, those are all good questions. So I think with the interbasin coordination, yeah, there's a to be determined, and there really is, this is one that needs a lot of work in terms of scope and therefore what the budget would be. And I think there's potentially two pieces to it. There's the very technical piece, which could include monitoring and modeling. And certainly we're interested in that being a coordinated approach with our kind of what I would consider that, I think we called it what, the Sac River Corridor, which is Corning Subbasin, Colusa, VINA, and Butte Subbasin, right? That's kind of the core. And so I think just off the cuff, and this warrants more discussion, I think, with consultants and technical folks, and then with SHAC and boards, to figure out what we think needs to be done and how to get money to do that. So that's where, and so then to circle back to your question about Butte Basin model update, I think as we talk about that and think bigger about what the interbasin pieces are, Butte Basin model may not be the right tool to update. Maybe there's other reasons we update it if we think it's the right tool for something else, but it may or may not be. So that's a good point. I mean, I think as we put more detail to that interbasin coordination and to some of these other things, it will refine, you know, maybe we update the SVSIM model instead and we set Butte Basin aside right now for a little bit. I think that will become clearer as we put more meat on the bones.
Well, I'm hoping that the Shack has an opportunity to participate in that planning process and yep. not just staff and consultants. I think it's important for the Shack to be involved from the bottom up on that, since it seems like some of us have some different priorities.
Yep.
And on the scoping for floodmar surface water supply and recharge, is the scoping going to look at the scientific aspects of this as well as the legal? But for instance, in the scientific aspects, about a decade ago, the Glencluse Irrigation District and the National Heritage Institute conducted a rather detailed study on recharge opportunities in the, I can't remember if they called it the Butte Basin or the Tuscan Aquifer System. Mm-hmm. And they identified real impediments to recharge projects having to do with the structure of the groundwater of the aquifer itself, with the aquitards in place, and you know how some recharge projects were just going to end up putting water, and the water would end up back in the river rather than into the targeted aquifer. So in the scoping process, hopefully we'll be looking at more than just the funding of it and the location of potential recharge, but the actual feasibility of being able to recharge the targeted portion of the aquifer that we're concerned about. And
yep.
So that's why.
I think that's what that is. Yeah.
Okay, very good. And again, that's a reason why I'm hoping that interested members of the Shack can be involved in that planning process rather than having staff and consultants do all the planning and then present it to us as an agenda item. I would really like to be involved, and I think Dr. Green would also like to be involved in those kind of things, because yep. since he is actually the expert on the Tuscan Aquifer System. Okay, thanks a lot for taking my comments, Christina.
Yeah, and I think that's what, when we said, you know, maybe we have project specific working groups, that is exactly what we were talking about. You know, as we, I think those two are great examples where they would benefit from input from the Shack and others. I think some, like the interbasin coordination, I see us also taking that to the Butte County Technical Advisory Committee. There's a lot of great technical capacity there, but having some specific, especially with these more complicated topics, having working groups to really be able to get into the details and then bring that back to the Shack as a whole. But we anticipate doing that.
Thank you, Jim. Are there any other questions or comments from Shack members? Please raise your hand. All right, seeing none, I do have a question. On slide number 2, Christina, at the bottom, you said that eligible reimbursable expenses are incurred back to December 2021. So there are some of our expenses that could be covered by this grant. Does that include legal fees?
I don't think legal fees are reimbursable or by this grant. Yeah, so there's some things that, right, Cammie, you can, So legal fees are not, but we can try to capture, you know, even our work on the annual report and other things. So there's an opportunity for, at least from the kind of Butte County Department budget standpoint, to capture some of those funds that might not reimburse the legal fees, but reimburse some of the other work that we're doing, and therefore kind of compensates for those extra funds, if that makes sense.
Terrific, thank you. All right, so seeing no more comments from the SHAC, I'm going to move this to public comment. Please raise your hand. Oh, Pam, I see your hand is raised.
Yes, thank you. Sorry. Well, I just want to express my gratitude for the conversations that are going on in this meeting today. And, you know, as a member of the public, I'm particularly grateful for who I consider a water watchdog, and that's Jim Brobeck. And I think it's so important that there are people that are bringing up deeper issues about this complicated topic. And I also want to call out Deborah Lucero, who has been a champion for this community. So that's what I have to say. Thank you.
All right, are there any other members of the public that wish to address the overview of SGMA implementation grant application and process? I do believe I see Deborah Lucero, your hand is raised.
Yeah, I just had a question. I asked this before and I didn't, and if you addressed this, Christina, I apologize, I didn't hear it. I wondered how these projects are going to be decided, what kind of matrix will be utilized to look at each one. You know, has that been decided? Has that been brought forth to the SHAC for discussion?
That hasn't. I think, some of it is, you know, just first eligibility related to this grant opportunity. So there's some things related to that, and just does it fit kind of what's reasonable? It's a $20 million, up to $20 million. That's probably unreasonable even to ask for $20 million. So there's some things that, you know, if it's a big infrastructure project, it probably is not a good fit for this grant opportunity. So there's some things that will sort themselves out, I think. But it hasn't been determined at this point what specific criteria will be, you know, to weigh in on what exactly is going to end up in the application or not. And that'll be, I think, part of the public process later. And hopefully FSS can help us with that as well. Cami, you want to
add in here? I would just say, you know, as we develop the projects, there'll be things that do either look like they absolutely should be, obviously, the what needs to be done in terms of just maintaining SGMA compliance and implementing the GSP, and then other projects that easily fall within the grant guidelines. And as Christina said, there might also be a timing issue. And so we can look at some of those things that will, I think the criteria will evolve over time through the discussions as we identify.
I guess I was just also wondering if other counties or other basins might have review criteria for their PMAs that we could look at and borrow from, so that we don't have to reinvent the wheel, because I know there are matrices being used in other areas in order to understand what is of importance in the PMAs as it pertains to SGMA.
Yeah, I think one of the things that we'll definitely draw from is the grant criteria that they use to review it, and that could be the starting point. And then definitely looking at other things, especially if, I mean, I'll say all of the critically overdrafted basins, I think the most they all applied for was about 15 to 16 million. So if we have 20 million worth of projects, we'll probably want to rank them. I don't know if we'll get funded 20 million worth of projects, but so we can definitely look at other criteria if it looks like it's necessary. But first, starting with the grant evaluation criteria to make sure that each project really fits all of that to increase its likelihood for funding.
Yeah. And that criteria is in, I believe it's in the PSP. Mm-hmm. So it makes sense to use that because that's what DWR will use to score these.
And I think our future discussions will outline that as well as we work on the project descriptions and the information, whether it's schedule, the cost, and how it helps implement the GSP.
Thank you.
All right, seeing no other hands raised, I'm gonna circle back to the SHAC now. If there are other members of the SHAC that want any follow-up questions answered. Okay, seeing no hands there, we're going to move on to agenda item number 8. We did skip 6 and addressed 7 previously, so we are moving on to 8. Consideration of future SHAC meeting date, time, and format. Cami, please take it away.
Great. I'm going to share my screen again with just one slide. I think it's sometimes, hopefully you can see that. So we've talked about in-person meetings, hybrid meetings. If the SHAC does want to start meeting in person, unfortunately the city has a conflict in using their conference room there. So at this specific time. So if we wanted to continue or if we wanted to meet in person in at this same time, the location would be the old municipal building. If I recall, I think the only reason why we stopped meeting there was COVID and we shifted to Zoom. If that building, for some reason, nobody wants that location, then the conference room at the City of Chico is available in the afternoon. And it's conference room one is different than the council chambers. It's a room just off to the, it's on the west side of the chambers. So that's available in the afternoon. Or if people don't want the municipal building on Wednesday mornings, the conference room is also available on Thursday mornings at 9 a.m. And then I guess the discussion also is, do we want in-person, a hybrid format? Just kind of putting those options out there.
Thank you, Cami. I'm going to open this up for SHAC discussion. We can either just chime in or do roll call to give your preference. I see, Jim, your hand is raised.
When we first began these online meetings, I was highly skeptical. I think you were too, Samantha. But I found it to be more than convenient. I find it it really enhances my ability to participate, because so much of what I do, I like having my computer right in front of me so I can refer to particular pages. And if I'm in a room, if I have to ride my bicycle downtown and sit in a hot room with people and I don't have my computer with me, it's just not as easy for me. And I think we get pretty good attendance with these online meetings. I don't know I know in some of the hybrid meetings I've been to with in some of the other agencies and commissions and whatever, the hybrid starts throwing in some complications of communication between the people in the room and the people online. And so I'm curious to see what the other SHAC members and members of the public think. I really appreciate being able to do it online in this way. And as long as we're equipped to do it, this would be my preference to continue doing it this way.
Jim, can I clarify? Back in March, we voted to move forward with hybrid meetings where there would be some in-person and then the online optional. Are you saying that you would prefer all online?
Just from my experience in other meetings, it eliminates some of the complications having to do with the interface between the people in the room and the people online. I'm certainly willing to go with a hybrid. But it's an observation that I want to throw into the conversation, that it sometimes is difficult to coordinate the in-person and the online in a way that is as effective as I think this is. But I'm willing to go either way.
Okay, great. Thank you. Sam Gepp, I see your hand is raised.
I'm not a fan of the Zoom. It's somewhat irritating to me. No, with respect to Jim, I appreciate your feelings on it, but I just think it's more personable to be at a meeting face-to-face with the other members. It's my personal preference. Thank you.
Sam, would you be open to the hybrid version that you would have the option? So a person like Jim would have the option, but then also be in person if you would prefer that?
Sure, I have no problem with that.
All right, are there any other SHAC members who would like to address this topic? I do not see any hand. Oh, Anne, you just went off mute.
Yeah, sorry. I'm okay with a hybrid. I'm actually okay with anything, but I think if we go back to in person, I liked that old municipal building. It was spacious, it had high ceilings, and I don't know, I'm not familiar with this conference room, but I would just say, I don't think we're done with COVID, and I would hesitate to go into a small room in person. That's it.
Thank you, Anne. Question for staff. When do you need an answer to reserve the rooms in time?
Probably as soon as possible, just so that Linda can get it on the books. So the old municipal building, I will say, if memory serves, I haven't been in conference room one in a while, but I think the old municipal building is a little larger, as Anne pointed out, higher ceilings, et cetera.
And forgive me, which days of the week is that room available?
It's available at this on Wednesday mornings at this time.
Okay, but not the other days and times.
I believe it could be. I just noted that it was available today. That way we're okay. Not changing days unless absolutely necessary, because this day seems to work for everybody.
Okay. So then seeing no more comments over online, in-person, or hybrid, how about we move to the day question? We're talking Wednesday morning, Wednesday afternoon, or Thursday morning. Greg, I see your hand is raised.
Yeah, I've got other meetings I go to. Wednesday morning seems to work good for me. The old building is fine, and I would rather have a hybrid than just a Zoom meeting. Thank you.
Are there any other SHAC members that have concerns over Wednesday versus Thursday, or Wednesday morning versus Wednesday afternoon?
As long as the Wednesday afternoon doesn't interfere with Water Commission meetings, that's an important meeting to be involved with.
The Water Commission meets on the first Wednesday, so if we keep it the fourth Thursday, I think we're okay.
Okay.
Or fourth Wednesday, sorry.
So, all right, so that all answers that question. So we've already voted in March to move forward with hybrid meetings. I would like to open it up to public comment at this period before we move forward with a motion on a change of day. So public comment, please raise your hand. Seeing Pam, Please go ahead.
Yeah, I definitely like the Zoom element. I don't know that I could make it to a live meeting as often as I can make it to a Zoom meeting.
Okay, thank you. Are there other members in the public that have a comment? Seeing none, I'm going back to SHAC members. Like I said, we did already vote on the hybrid. So it appears the question is Wednesday mornings, as usual, fourth Wednesdays, or moving to afternoons, or fourth Thursday mornings. And then also a motion to begin in July or move to hybrid in August. So if someone would please put up a motion so we can have one last discussion.
I move that, this is Greg. Yeah, I move we have the meetings Wednesday morning, the old municipal building with the hybrid meeting starting in July.
Great. All right.
I'll second that.
Okay, I'm repeating Greg Sonnery's motion to begin July, fourth Wednesdays at 9 a.m. in the old municipal building at hybrid option available. So, Jim, I hear you seconded.
Yes.
Do we have any discussion? Please raise your hand. All right, seeing no SHAC members with their hands raised, Cammy, would you please do a roll call vote on Greg Sonnery's motion?
Sure, Jim Brobeck.
Yes.
Ann Dawson.
Aye.
Chris Madden. Chris, I see you went off mute. I'm assuming you may have said aye.
Yeah, sorry. Yes.
That's okay. Joanne Parsley?
Yes.
Bruce Smith?
Yes.
Greg Sonnery?
Yes.
Sam Gepp? I think that was a yes faint.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Sam. And Samantha Lewis.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Moving on to item 9, management committee update, verbal report, Cammy.
All right.
Letter A, executive order N-722.
All right. As you all recall, the governor had his executive order, which essentially required that the GSAs provide written verification to, in our case, environmental health, the permitting agency, verification that issuing a well permit would not interfere with the sustainable or the groundwater, the GSP. Gosh, I can't even remember what is the acronym, GSP. And so just so everyone knows that the county has resumed issuing or processing well permit applications. There's only pretty much one additional step, which is for the permittee to identify which GSA the well is located in. Staff will also, Department of Water and Resource Conservation staff will also be looking at the locations of the wells in relation to the monitoring wells and RMS wells. And so that's just wanted to let everyone know that processing of permits has resumed within the county.
Thank you, Cammy. Are there any SHAC members with questions for staff? Seeing none, public comment on item nine, the management committee update. Pam, I see your hand is raised. Do you have a comment on the verbal report?
I do. Pam. It seems it seems really strange, you know, as we discuss how the aquifer is being drained down, that we're going to sign some more people up to get more of the water. It, you know, to the general public, I'm not a scientist. I don't know all the nitty gritty, but in general, I know the big picture and it just seems really strange. Are these applications for new wells or are these applications for deeper wells or, yeah, it makes no sense to me. Sorry.
All right, thank you, Pam. Are there any other comments from the public? All right, seeing none, if there are no additional questions or comments from Shaq, we will move on. All right, moving on to item 10, adjournment. Do I have a motion to adjourn the meeting?
Move. I'll make it a motion. This is Sam Gep.
Second, Greg Sonry.
All right, Sam Gep moved to adjourn the meeting. With a second from Greg. Rather than a roll call vote, we can just make consensus here. If everyone is in agreement that we will have a hybrid meeting on July 27th.
Perfect.
Perfect.
Sounds good.
Thank you. All right.
Thank you.
See you in a month.